So it's now about, it's actually about 10 to 6, 5 to 6. And we're on the freeway, Highway 1, heading down toward Highway 9, passing under the pedestrian underpass, or overpass, I should say. And there's a large placard hanging from that overpass, the pedestrian walkway, that says disarm, defund, dismantle the police, which is the chant, I think, at various points, as well as the placard of the various people are carrying.
Fascist USA!
And now's my chance to kill Keith McHenry with a quick blow with my car, but no, I won't do that. That would be wrong. I couldn't help it, officer. I was stuck in traffic behind all these protesters.
Hi.
Hey there. Who is it? Oh, it's Angel again.
Angel
has a sort of a kind of a motorized unicycle. It looks like. It's now about a little after six. We're passing the housing splinters group or smittens group or. 950 people housed and approaching the intersection with Highway 9, where Highway 9, Highway 1 intersect. I'm not sure where they're going, but
looks like it.
I think they're going to pause here for a while. The intersection of 1 and 9, and looks like we're blocking all lanes of traffic with the Norrismobile halfway into the intersection. I think they're shouting the names of people who've been killed. Breonna Taylor.
Some. Oh wow! Blue Lives Murder.
And it looks like the traffic is directing itself. There aren't even people motioning people turning from Highway 9 onto Highway 1 North. They're just. Doing a turn.
Oh, he's doing fine.
Okay. Keith is taking photos, as are numerous other people. And about 10 after 6, and we're passing the Santa Cruz Auto Body Shop along River Street as we head back toward the town clock. And whatever other objective Carlos has in mind, abolish the police, the prison industrial complex, no justice, no peace. Fuck the police. Abolish the police. And there are various signs. Both the lanes of River Street have been taken over, though I guess cars are creeping by along the edges, or the edge, the stream left edge. How you doing, man? Mandatory honks, of course. Abolish the police, invest in black futures. An opportunity for different speakers to speak if they wanted to. I might have stepped up, but I didn't. But Keith is the last man of the pack there. And the cars behind, we have a line of cars that are, not sure if they're impatient or not, but one guy is signaling left, and I guess she wants to go left. Somebody wants to go left. The shout is still Black Lives Matter, it sounds like the people who are marching mean it. So what this actually means, it's another march. And the Santa Cruz City Council meeting is in 2 days, a Zoom meeting. The only thing on the agenda, police-wise, is some kind of watered-down guidelines for facial recognition and surveillance technology, which I remember months ago when Councilmember Glover was still council member and still doing his Friday orientation sessions before each council meeting. He talked about how, as the Public Safety Committee, they tried to get a stronger version of this. The original version was stronger, and it was weakened. And so it's coming up for what is probably a slam dunk vote in 2 days. Sign which says Blue Lives Murder being carried directly in front of the car here. And we're actually, of course, going through another red light at North Pacific. And
we've been holding the phones out.
And there's a pretty positive response to all this. Reform is not enough is another sign. Student Workers Union says the back of one shirt. We all deserve systems centered on restorative justice, says another sign. Now who knows, maybe the cars behind us have joined the parade, because certainly cars going the other direction seem to be honking in favor of.
That's an incredibly short skirt.
And almost everybody is masked, as I mentioned before.
That hair is so cute.
We're now in front of the jail. We're on the Water Street between the court and the buildings that adjoin the jail. Then there's speakers both lanes are blocked. Police serve and protect white supremacy, says one of the signs. And I guess I'll get out and try to record the speech, or at least get a smidgen of it. So some folks are sitting down on Water Street here.
We must understand how the prison industrial complex began. Epistemic violence in the U.S. is white supremacist violence enforced systematically, both socially and institutionally. The U.S. prison and deportation system, epistemic violence, has forced incarcerated and undocumented people into second-class citizenship. Criminals whose rights can be denied for the rest of their lives.
Another sign, all cops are class traitors, that's another sign.
A wide variety of laws, policies, and institutions have lost indigenous and people of color in cages. In the U.S., there are nearly 8 million people caged in the prison industrial complex. Mass incarceration has been normalized over the last few centuries to mask its corruption. Jim Crow is still very much alive. The only difference is that it is gentrified and hidden behind walls and cages. The 13th Amendment states that neither slavery nor involuntary servitude shall exist within the U.S. except as a punishment for crime. This results to increase the criminalization of the black population in a legal manner. These forms of discriminatory laws were put into place by the fascist U.S. settler colonial state in an effort to recage newly freed slaves into forced labor control and racial violence in order to keep the U.S. capitalist system economy intact. Imprisonment shifted during the abolition of slavery in an effort to expand state-sanctioned racism. New methods of punishments were adopted, resembling the violence inflicted on slaves, including the lease of practically free labor from prisoners. Black bodies were no longer worth any form of property and therefore were used and exploited through the U.S. criminal justice system to continue generating surplus profits. The convict leasing program has turned into what is now the prison industrial complex, which was implemented to maintain the same structures of exploitation that U.S. slavery was based off of. Racialized gender criminality. America holds 4% of the world's population and nearly 25% of the world's incarcerated people. 90% of the people in U.S. prisons are of color. The criminalization and stripping of rights of black, indigenous, and people of color results in perpetual poverty, class immobility, and the allocation of federal funding siphoned away from education, healthcare, childcare, welfare, and housing, which plays a pivotal role in producing the conditions of poverty that create a perceived need for more prisons. The prison industrial complex works to keep BIPOC people in prisons as a means of limiting their access to political civic engagement, particularly to suppress the votes of the 8 million caged peoples in the U.S. and profit off of their practically free forced labor in the prison system. It requires us to understand that the only way to end oppression is to abolish prisons, policing, cages, military stations.
People.
Number 3, dismember all pigs.
Something about pigs.
Number 4, free all prisoners and close Santa Cruz County Jail.
Close the jails, free the prisoners.
Number 5, defund SCPD, defund UCPD, and all pig departments.
Defund the various police departments.
This is definitely not a space where we're kneeling with the fucking mayor. This is not a space where we're kneeling with the chief of police.
Fuck
Andy Mills. Fuck all the pigs.
Fuck Andy Mills.
Fuck them all.
Thank you.
What's up, everyone? You have noticed a little difference between this march and the last three? Yeah. And, we have not seen a goddamn cop all day long. Yeah. And, surprisingly enough, we're all right, because thanks to all of the work that all these people out here are doing with the cop watch.
Other, and we're gonna keep moving forward.
Let's go.